You have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Safe in his care, he feeds our souls with his holy word. We're going to meditate this morning on that first scripture lesson. I'll just read the first part of it now from Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 9, and then pick up the rest in a few moments. From Acts 6, beginning at verse 1. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of the disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as in the province of Cilicia and Asia. These men began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against his wisdom or the Spirit by whom he spoke. This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, our good and gentle shepherd, dear sheep of his pasture. For people who have been in the city too long, if you would ever have to spend a little time in a sheep pen, it would be a malodorous experience. That means stinky. Helping a friend on a ranch one time during lambing season, we had to spend too much time in the lambing shed. The ammonia from the afterbirth was so thick and noxious, this baby face got chapped like a really bad windburn. You just don't want to be around, and you got to wonder, where in the world would anybody get this idea that sheep could be a blessing? Till you get to Minnesota and the winter goes long, and sometimes you get really warm and fuzzy and glad in that wool that there are some shepherds who raise sheep. They are still one of the most helpful animals to the land, if they are well tended. This shepherd, Philip Keller, who wrote that book I've referred to often, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, talks about how sheep leave behind blessings. They can take blasted land that's just, and as they go through, it is growing, and it is, well, I think for city slickers, probably still a little bit stinky. But surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's the sheep talking. And for those of us who are in the care of the Good Shepherd, we leave behind a blessing. And sometimes the reaction of people who receive that blessing is about the same as you having some sheep going through your living room. But sheep in the care of the Good Shepherd spread the shepherd's care, as we see first in this first part of our text, for lives of service. Sheep in the shepherd's care spread lives of service that help so many people. One of the things I love about the Bible that convinces me this absolutely is the Word of God, without mistake and without error, is the fact that it does not sugarcoat things. It talks about real problems with real people. And you can easily relate to this because every one of us can take a fair amount of abuse, but don't touch my family. And if you do anything or say anything against my mother or my grandmother, this gets very personal, right? So you can imagine what it was like in the early Christian church where the flock of Jesus Christ is threatened by cultural problems between the Greek-speaking Jews and the Hebrew-speaking Jews because there were widows that needed help and they were being neglected. And all of a sudden, you've got the sheep butting heads. And it's never pretty when the sheep are butting heads. The natural reaction of a pastor, which is just a Latin word for shepherd, is to load down the schedule even more and figure, got to take care of this problem, and then start neglecting the ministry of the word and prayer and wonder why his family is not happy because they're not being ministered to. And we just take this on ourselves instead of looking at it in wisdom, the way these apostles did. They had followed Jesus, the Good Shepherd, for 3 years on his ministry, and they realized that when the sheep are butting heads, then too they need their heads anointed with oil. A good shepherd with sheep in rutting season will spread some axle grease on their heads. So you can imagine when you start hearing the sounds of butting heads, it gets a little bit comical. They can't quite connect when they're slipping past each other on that axle grease. And they finally just give up. And so the apostles said here, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God, which is the axle grease or the oil of the Holy Spirit, and then go and wait on tables. But that needs to be done. They needed to delegate. They needed an election. So the apostles gathered together the church and said, brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. They had an election. The men voted for other men. And why? To serve the women, to serve their sisters. That was the Lord's way of men serving as leaders. For the sake of others, sheep in the care of the Good Shepherd, because we are his hands, his feet. He cares for others through us. And what happened? The same thing that happens whenever people put God's word into practice in a Christian congregation. The word of God spread. The number of the disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. They focused on the word. They kept the anointing of the Holy Spirit going day by day because sheep need it constantly in word and sacrament. And the sheep were healthy. And more servants stepped forward to help. And I saw another example of how well this works at New Life just this past week. We have elections too. Our men vote to elect men to serve. And we want to stress always that Christ-like attitude of serving, of self-sacrificing service, so that our sisters in Christ can be busy blooming in the beautiful love of our Lord Jesus in ways that truly help people. So imagine how thrilled I was in a nursing home this week, wheeling one of our members from New Life into the room of another Wells member that I was asked to call on. And here, this old grandma in the memory unit has some greeting cards in her hand. Some obviously made by children. She said they were from her grandchildren. But I looked at the return address on the envelope. It said New Life Evangelical Lutheran Church in Shoreview, Minnesota. Cards sent by our sisters in Christ, busy with their hands. And here they're coming to the degree that maybe this old mind that now has Alzheimer's thinks it was grandchildren that sent them. That's all right. It's an extra ray of hope and sunshine. And it's awfully endearing to be the pastor of a flock of Jesus' sheep who care for each other like that and then find a surprise waiting in a place I least expected it. Brothers, our sisters are busy with their hands. How are yours doing? Have we been busy? Doesn't mean that our sisters in Christ never lead in a Christ-like leading other women sense, but I love the way this Wells woman, Kathy Wendlin, wife of old Professor Wendlin, likes to put this. She says that often when women have leadership abilities, they don't realize it. And the picture she used in a paper is of a mother going about her business in her home, doing all the duties that mothers do, and she doesn't hear the pitter-patter of tiny feet behind her, and then all of a sudden she just stops to do something, and they all bump into her from behind. She didn't realize it. She was just doing what the Lord called her to do, serving with that Christ-like heart, and there they were following. I suppose that famous Prime Minister of England, Margaret Thatcher, had one of the greatest quotes on this. She said, "Leadership is like a lady. If you have to tell someone you are, you aren't." It's true. When you do the work of the Lord and serve in that fear of the Lord to be a blessing, the shepherd is leading the sheep. The sheep are serving, souls are blessed, lives are blessed. And Stephen was a man full of God's grace and power who did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people because God was confirming his word by the signs that he allowed them to do. But don't expect people to like it. No more than if sheep came through your living room. Opposition arose especially from the foreign Jews come in from other places, and they began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand against his wisdom or the spirit by whom he spoke. They didn't like it. Just as people will react to you in ways negatively when you don't know why. All you're doing is loving and serving the Lord and being a blessing. They don't remember. Most people in our society don't know where we got the word hospital from or who the hospitalers were in the Middle Ages. You realize the pagans, when the Black Plague and all that went through Europe over all those years, all the way back to the time when the Roman Empire fell, the pagans would realize there was some way these sicknesses were spreading, and so they'd get a sick relative, they'd throw them out in the street. The Christians went along and picked up the sick people and took them to places that eventually were called hospitals. And these were hospitalers that took care of them, and many of them got better in the love of Christ. Their souls were blessed by faith in Jesus as their Savior. And they, in turn, then started hospitals that are still being a great blessing to us today. But you and I as sheep, when we go through these difficult times, you know, we'd always just like to have the sun shining. And then after a while without enough rain and snow, then we say, oh, if only this drought would end. If only we could stop global warming. We're just constantly in that, and we are sheep that love to wander the same paths until we've got ruts that we can lie down in and relax. And roll around with that dirty wool of sin and conceit on our backs until our legs are up in the air, belly up, as they call a cast sheep. And if we stay like that in the blazing heat, we will die. If it's cold, we will die. The good shepherd must seek us out. Find the cast sheep. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why so disquieted within me? Put thy hope in God. He will yet save me, my Savior and my God. I need him to come and find me, to pick me up, to lift me and carry me back to his place, because I, sinner that I am a sheep that loves to wander. But the shepherd cares for his own, whether through Stephen or whoever the servant may be. Sheep spread the shepherd's care for lives of service and for new life, power, and grace. They did not like what he said. Stephen, in a long chapter 7 of Acts, answers the accusations that were actually capital crimes among the Jews, speaking against Moses' law and against the temple, punishable by death. So he answers with Israelite history well known to everybody that showed that the Jewish forefathers over and over again rejected Moses. They did not listen to God's law. They lost the promised land, and they spoke against the temple, and God said anyway, the temple or the tabernacle cannot hold the Almighty Creator. Nothing can contain him. When we get to the end of our text, in Acts 7, beginning at verse 51, Stephen is wrapping it up, and he's not holding anything back. All the guns are blazing here as he makes his defense against his own Jewish people. He says, "You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was put in effect through angels, but have not obeyed it." Literally, have not guarded and treasured God's word. The same could be said of us. This natural-born neck is stiff with pride. These ears and heart are weighed down with the sin of selfishness and self-centeredness. We resist the Holy Spirit's efforts to get us into Bible class, to get us into personal Bible reading, to get us to concentrate on God's Word and apply it to our lives day by day. This is about us, resisting the Holy Spirit, even persecuting the pastors. If you read in the recent issue of the Beginnings of Christian Life Ministry, they get accused of all sorts of incompetence and careless love because they have this huge mailing list that they send out to all our Wisconsin Synod members, and somebody dies. And they don't know about it. And they're still on the mailing list. And so it comes to the home of someone who's dead. And then they get a letter or a phone call back that says, "Don't you people care? Don't you know so-and-so died?" And so they have to write an article that says, "Please inform us when you die." A little tongue-in-cheek, yes, but how are we supposed to know? My son's pastor in New Ulm thanked me when I told him, "Here's a situation, we would love to have your help." And he drove up to Minneapolis to care for the family. That's a wonderful blessing, but they don't know unless we tell them. And I have to ask you, Wisconsin Synod members, would we have students in our schools for the last 12 or 15 years preparing for to be pastors, teachers, and staff ministers with these huge debts on their tuition? If you and I love the Word of God as our greatest treasure, would there be a lack of support in our synod ever, especially for the schools training the servants of the Lord to come? Do not think for a second that we go off unscathed from this. We have not loved God's word as we ought. We have been the ones who, by our selfishness and self-centeredness, killed the righteous one, nailed him to the cross with our betrayal and our murderous spirits, though we have received God's law, his holy word, and have not treasured it in hearts that love it more than anything else on earth or in heaven. Now, you can pick up stones as they did for Stephen when they heard this. They were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. This really got him. He says, "Look, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." He was given the ability to look beyond the veil there to Jesus, crucified, risen, and ascended at the right hand of God, the position of power and authority for the sake of his flock, the church. And at this, they covered their ears. And yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Echoes of the cross. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." When we hear about our sins and what they did to our Savior, rather than picking up stones to kill the messenger or leaving to go somewhere else where the word is maybe a little bit more pleasant, We ought to be like that tax collector in the temple that Jesus talked about, who could not even look up to heaven, but kept his eyes down on the ground and just had a very simple prayer. Lord, have mercy. Forgive me, Lord. Be merciful to this sinner. God is so intent on letting us know we are forgiven that in a situation like this, where the victim is dying under a pile of rocks from religious people, the churchmen of the day, he prays for them to be forgiven, that this sin of murder not be held against them, because Stephen knew all sins are forgiven, even the sin of murder. Even to this Saul who was consenting to their death, the way many Americans today go on about their busy lives and never stop to think or pray or act for the sake of the innocent unborn being killed by the millions in our country. We are complicit. Saul was complicit. But he later realized that Jesus was his Savior too. Renamed Paul the missionary of the Gentiles, knowing that his murderous persecution of the Christians was forgiven. As Stephen prayed, it was forgiven. Not a sin remains. All washed away with the blood of Christ. Your sins, my sins, the sins of the whole world. The only sin here, anywhere, is unbelief. And whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. That's what Jesus says. What do you say in the midst of your trials and tribulations, especially when it costs you dearly to be a Christian? Can you say of those who persecute you, Lord, do not hold this sin against them? Can you be so much at peace with the Lord's forgiveness of you and his care for you that in death you could close your eyes and fall asleep as Stephen did? Sometimes when I'm not there in peace as I ought to be, those verses from that old hymn that didn't make it into our new hymnal, I think it should have, just roll through my mind. It's an old hymn by Isaac Watts. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease? While others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Sure I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. The saints in all this glorious war shall conquer though they die. They see the triumph from afar with faith's discerning eye. When that illustrious day shall rise and all thine armies shine in robes of victory through the skies, the glory shall be thine. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your tender, loving care. The new life that we live by faith in you, such rich, conquering forgiveness given to us that we forgive those around us and thank the Lord in the midst of our trials and temptations. Here in the dark valleys, sometimes in the valley of the shadow of death, is where we really need to hear the voice of our shepherd. But he's never quiet. He speaks through the loving care and the mouths of his own people, even to this day. He spoke through Stephen, so that down through these centuries ever since, Christians could die with forgiveness on their lips, and places like the Soviet Union crumble from the inside out because Christians in those prisons blessed and prayed for their captors and their torturers, who sometimes even joined them in the cells as Christians in future days. There's a story about a Christian, maybe you saw that recently, who went as a missionary to Iran, talked to a mullah in the town. Because the mullah came to see him, just loaded for bear to prove that Christianity is wrong and Islam is right. Used all the arguments of a well-educated mullah, their name for a pastor. Finally, he was absolutely puffed up with pride and sure that he had used every argument to demolish whatever this Christian missionary had to say. The missionary was silent, tears rolling down his cheeks. He didn't say another word. Years later, when another missionary came to the town, he found this former mullah worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ and asked him, "How was it that you converted to worship Jesus as your Lord and Savior?" "It was his tears," he said. "All my anger, all my pride, all my arguments could not accomplish what his tears said to me because he was so heartbroken at my pride and my rejection of Christ." Love will do what nothing else can. And when you boil it all down, the Good Shepherd's care is love. Glory be to Jesus in your life and mine. Amen. Please rise.